was a great intro to my message, speaking from Ephesians and just the words of the songs today. Ephesians, you know, built upon the foundation of the apostle prophet, Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And He's the life of the church, and He is the one whom we draw upon. It's His life in us that manifests itself out from us. So that was a terrific intro, and I really appreciate Cherie sharing today too. It was just awesome. I got to hear it twice. So, well, let's look to the Lord before I begin. Our Father, we do praise Your name. And Lord, as You have been with us through worship and in prayer, Father, we ask that You would come now, be with us as and open the Word to us. Don't leave us to our own devices or our own strength or our own power. But Lord, You come and be the one who feeds each one their portion, as You are the faithful provider. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our Christian vernacular, we speak often of the blood of Jesus, the love of Christ displayed upon the cross, of discipleship, of loving God and loving people. That's our aim in life. See, that's what we're all about here at North Street. And it's well that we should speak about it. That's who we are, and it's what we do. Jesus' invitation to His disciples was, "Follow Me." And at other times, it was with a stern warning of, "If any man come after Me and hate not father, mother, sister, brother, he cannot be My disciple. He must lose his life. If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me." Those are the words of the Lord. But at the end of His life, when He was physically going to depart from them, they weren't going to be able to follow Him anymore because they weren't going to be able to physically see Him. He used another word for the relationship that His disciples were to share with Him in. It was as Jesus headed to the cross and heavenly glory. And the word is abide. It speaks of an intimacy, of fellowship and oneness of life and interest. If believers in Christ and followers of Him fail to enter into this union or remain ignorant of it, this, to quote Andrew Murray, is not only an unspeakable loss to themselves, but the church and the world suffer in what they lose. These are words spoken by Jesus as He and His disciples moved from the upper room towards Gethsemane. Chapters 13 and 14 of John's Gospel contain action in the upper room as Jesus washing the disciples' feet, His foretelling of Peter's denial and of Judas's betrayal, as well as His preparing the apostles for His departure and His promise of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 14 ends with Jesus saying, "Arise, let us go hence." It means let's get out of here. We're going somewhere. That's King James. I like the King James Version. Very high vocabulary, fitting for the Lord's words. And so as we move from the upper room, chapters 15 and 17 are spoken by Jesus as recorded by John, the inspired apostle, while they traveled together towards the Mount of Olives. And the parable emphasizes what took place previous at the Last Supper, and it joins it with the further teaching of 15, 16, and His prayer of chapter 17. And so, let's read, if you will, with me, John chapter 15, beginning at the first verse. We'll read 1 through 12. And if you want to use a Pew Bible, it's page number 956. So John chapter 15, beginning in the first verse. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now this analogy or parable that Jesus uses would not be strange to his disciples. Israel had always been referred to as a vine or a fruitful vineyard of the Lord. Isaiah 5:7, the prophet writes, For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. You see, the production that the Lord had expected from his vineyard had not taken place. There was a great unlikeness to God in their religion. Jesus points to himself and says, I am the true vine. I'm the genuine. I'm the ideal, the real source of life for the church. See, how often do we rely on our pedigree? See, like the Israelites did. They said, we be Abraham's seed. See, we're not sinners. See, but we can rely upon our religiosity or rely upon our church attendance or our Bible reading or our Sunday school attendance, maybe tithing, maybe having prayer. But the love of God is not in us. These actions, they're all good, they're all necessary, and they all should come out from our life. But they're not what makes us members of the body of Christ. They are needful for spiritual growth and understanding, but that doesn't make us members of the body of Christ by doing these things. That's not what attaches us to the vine. The command is to abide in Him, and we do that by faith. This union, this oneness, His life, not my life. Paul says, crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. See, that's abiding by faith. Jesus speaks here of a life principle, and that is the essence of the true Christian life. Recorded in John 1:4, the beginning of John's Gospel. In Him, that's Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus speaking of himself, as recorded in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. 1 John 5:12, John's first letter to the church, he writes, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. To have the Son means that we are in Him. He is in us. He's the source of abundant, radiant life that is secured only through faith. Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me, he has everlasting life, pardon me, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. That's That's the state of a believer. He was dead in trespasses and sins. He becomes alive in Christ Jesus. And this spiritual life comes from Christ. And it's manifested to the world by the fruit that is produced in the life of the believer. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. It's all contained in the life. That's fruit that never decays. It is always there. And everything, all the fruit of the Spirit is encased in that. As God the Father is the husbandman or the vine dresser, He takes care to make sure that the life is flowing through the branch and that the correct fruit is being produced. He it is who grafts us into the vine. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, "But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." And His desire, that's God's desire, is that we would produce fruit which brings Him glory. And the first thing we see in this relationship is our foundation with God. Justified by faith, we have peace. That's a being, a coming to Jesus at the great invitation, "Come unto Me, all you who are weary, I will give you rest." That's what Jesus said. That we find salvation. That's a coming to Jesus, having our sin burden lifted. And then we think it's up to us to do the rest. And we never enter into the rest of the soul. We never enter into resting in Jesus. We don't get into the yoke. We don't learn of Him. We don't abide by faith. See, what does He say? "Take My yoke upon you. Learn from Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light." See, as we have received Christ by faith, that's how we're to follow Him by faith. That's how we're to abide in Him by faith. That's how we're to walk with Him by faith. We walk with Him in sanctification. In a word Spurgeon uses is vivification. Making His life manifest in our life. Making it vivid. Making it seen. And mortification, putting to death the deeds of the body or the deeds of the flesh. See, our old nature, we put it down. It stays in the grave. We don't breathe any life in it, but we let the life of Christ come forth and manifest itself. So we get the wisdom that's from above. We get a mind of Christ. Wisdom that comes into the heart. It's pure. Brings peace. We enter into rest. The old nature's still there. But because we have been crucified with Christ, united with Him in His death, living by faith in Him, our new nature has power to put to death the deeds of the body as we yield in obedience to His Word. That is the Christian life. And it's not a formula. It's an interchange that takes place in my nature. It makes me alive to God. Causes the affections of my heart to become more focused on Him and eternity than on the earthly and the temporal. It's a new nature within the Christian. So what does the vine dresser do? He cuts a slit in the vine and he grafts in the branch and then he looks for signs of life. He cares for it. He nourishes it. He fertilizes it and in all ways encourages it to grow. See, the life is derived from the vine. And the purpose of the branch is to produce fruit. That's why we are here. That's why He grafts us in. And so He provides everything necessary for growth. If the branch is healthy, it'll produce fruit. It's the natural outcome of the vine-branch relationship. And it's at the husbandman or the vine dresser's discretion whether or not that branch is going to bear fruit and whether it should be clipped off and cast aside, discarded. As the keeper moves through the vineyard, and I like this picture because we like vineyards. We like going to vineyards. I like seeing grapes grow. And when you go to a vineyard in the springtime, it doesn't look very fruitful. It doesn't look like there's anything happening. You know, but the keeper knows. He cruises through the vineyard and he looks and he knows what's starting to grow. He can see signs of life. It's the same way with our Heavenly Father. So as He moves through the vineyard, He sees life flowing. And He sees where it's not flowing. He has perfect judgment. And so He removes the unfruitful branches to give more room to those who are or which are producing fruit. See, healthy branches are pruned for greater fruitfulness and sweeter fruit. And that speaks of chastening. Chastening is simply to nurture. See, to teach, to instruct. And you could liken that to the natural elements of sun and air and rain. It is what's needed for healthy fruit production. Our Father clips away the harmful effects of our old nature. As the new nature of Christ in us affects our whole being, a renewed mind, like I said, the mind of Christ, new appetites for the things of God. The things of God are right. They're the things we should set our mind upon. They're proper. And it's Christ by His Spirit. He's transforming us into His image, making us holy as He is holy. But He doesn't do it from the outside. He doesn't do it like an uncomfortable brace, you know, that needs to be adjusted. He does it from the inside out by the life that flows from the vine to the branch. And the brace thing is, I had elbow surgery, and some of you saw me, I had a brace on. But see, you have to crank that brace out and put it into the position that it needs to go into and hold it there, you know. And you can do that for a while, but then it becomes uncomfortable and you just crank it back in. So then you'll have to put it in here, extension, flexion. But that's not how Christianity is. But a lot of people do Christianity that way. See, put it on for a while, and for a while it feels okay, and you can kind of, you know, let it do its thing. You can kind of maybe measure up, but it becomes very uncomfortable. And so we'll just take it off. And so, you know, a brace is self-adjustable. You know, I can adjust it to as far as I want to put it. And so the same way in self-made Christianity. See, Christianity from the outside in. Christianity that we try to do. Christianity, I'm going to make myself like Jesus. No, He makes us from the inside out. He knows how to stretch us. He knows how to shape us. He knows how to form us. He knows what's good for us. Not me. See, I just have to abide in the vine by faith. I just have to trust in Him. I just have to allow Him to do His work. And so the brace type of Christianity, eventually I just take it off and I throw it in a corner because I'm not wearing it. I get tired of it. It's quite restricting. You know, I really don't like it. And so that's what many people do with Christianity. See, a branch can't produce fruit on its own. It must receive its life flow from the vine. It doesn't grunt or grow. See, it doesn't, I'm going to produce some fruit. You know, I'm going to make it happen. It doesn't come that way. It does not work. It's simply by abiding, resting in the vine. And our life is sustained by the Word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord does man live. And to have the Lord in us, I in you, like Jesus said, is to receive the Word. See, receive it in you. Being born again of incorruptible seed by the Word of God. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life and they are life producing. See, it's not a one-time thing, not just coming to Jesus, getting saved. It's a continuous action of feeding upon the true bread from heaven. Jesus said, what? I am the man. I'm the true man. Came down from heaven. He who feeds upon me, he who eats my flesh, drinks my blood. That's feeding on the Lord. That doesn't simply mean Bible reading. It's receiving the Word from the Lord and agreeing with the Spirit as He makes the application to our life. It is feeding on the Lord as His life becomes our life in the flesh. The Word becomes flesh. in you and in me. That's how the church is seen in the world. So I said it was a good intro. And to abide in the Lord, abide in me. See, that's what the Lord said, abide in me. That's to act upon the Word. To be a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. And you do it with patience, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Endure the Word. Jesus said those that kept His words are true disciples. And they would know the truth and they would be set free. Set free from the works of the flesh that bring unrest. You know, the works of the flesh put you into unrest. No rest, Jeremiah says, for the wicked. There is no rest. Why? Because we are never satisfied. See? And so, when we continue in the Word, when we continue with the Lord Jesus, we get to the end of that. He sets us free. We know the truth. And we find life. And we produce fruit. And so the fruit that is produced is the same fruit that Jesus was full of as He walked the earth. As we have received mercy from the Lord, been forgiven, we do the same. Without showing favoritism and no matter what the cost. As we draw upon our life source, the vine, we have the same life in us as the vine. And so when we are sinned against or wronged, we must do as He does. Give mercy and forgive. See, I believe in Matthew 18, church discipline. I believe what the Lord said, and we should exercise it when necessary, just like the Lord instructed us. But I also know that we have been given much more mercy than we exercise. And if we would extend that liberty, you know, more often, we'd walk in a lot greater freedom than what we walk in now. See, forgiven, that sets people free. That sets you free. Sets you free. And it's only the grace of God that enables us to live this way. See, if I sin against somebody with word or deed and the Lord convicts me of it, as humbling as that is, and whether I'm justified or not, I must. And sometimes I can't wait to confess and seek forgiveness. Because God is, He's in there, see? And there is a separation between myself and that individual. See, there's a wall between us of unforgiveness. And there's a separation between the Lord and myself. Your sin, said the Lord, has separated you from me, see? And so I have to go and seek forgiveness. And when I do, that wall's taken away. There's restoration. Restoration with the Lord. I can begin to receive from Him again. But see, if we harden our heart and we don't do that, then that shuts that person off, shuts another person off. You know, pretty soon we're all walled up. And the Lord can't, He can't feed us because we're not even looking at the Lord. We're looking this way. And so until we repent, And we do what the Lord's asking. See, the Lord is my shepherd. And He doesn't do it from out here. He does it from in here. See? And He chastens me. And by His stripes, Peter said, I'm healed. See, on the inside, when He begins to work upon me, He chastens me. He brings me into divine health. And He enables me to be a restorer of the breach. See, He restores relationships. How? By my saying, look, I'm sorry, you know, forgive me, and we move on. See, that's giving mercy. That's bringing healing to my inner man. But if the sprouts of envy and anger and gossip and bigotry or a loose type of worldliness begin to crop up in me, see, that's an indication that I'm drawing on a source other than the true vine. And they must be clipped off in order that they do not continue to grow and contaminate fruit production. See, it shows that I'm double-minded. See, I'm not totally died to self, that I'm not abiding in the vine. Just James says, can a well bring forth both fresh water and bitter? No, it can't. It brings forth one or the other. But see, that's an indication of where I live and what my source is. See, what am I drawing upon? And that's a very good indication of where I live. See, what comes out of my mouth. See, that's what makes us unclean, said the Lord. Not what you take in, but what you spew out. And is it mercy, love, forgiveness, you know, genuineness? Or is it hatred? And, you know, see, what's coming out of us? That's an indication. And so when those things begin to crop up, see, we need to get to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I need you. I need you. I need to be single-eyed. I need to be single-minded. And so the husbandman, he's faithful to show me these things that I might confess, forsake, be forgiven and cleansed, and let the life of Christ be manifest in my life, and have continuous fellowship with the Father and with His Son. See, that's unity. That's oneness. That's abiding as a branch in the vine. Satisfied with His provision and confident that He knows just what is needed for fruitful production. See, everything that comes in contact with the branch is meant to encourage growth. Make it stronger, rid it of blight or impurities. And it must pass through the permissive hand of the husbandman first. See, the reaction of the branch to the elements gives an indication of how well it is doing, how healthy it is, and what the fruit production will look like. See, whether it's a warm southern breeze or a cold north wind, see, what kind of fragrance is that blossom giving off? See, is it an aroma of Christ unto God, which shows that we, like the apostle, have learned how to be content, whether we are abased or whether we abound. See, if I get a warm breeze coming from the south, I like that. I don't necessarily like a cold north wind. But see, the same aroma should be rising up to the Lord. There should be an aroma of Christ. See, or is it a noxious odor that reveals to the keeper that there is still some pruning to be done? See, I can do many things out here for God. Production that looks good. I can stand up here and share the Word. I can teach Sunday school. You know, I can go to Thailand, which is a good thing. But I mean, I can do a lot of stuff out here for God. A lot. Production that looks good, gets man's approval, but the Lord is much more interested in the vessel, what it contains, and the testimony that it bears than monuments and ministries that do not express the love of God. See, that which the Father looks for in His adopted children is the same character exhibited in His only begotten Son. So that just as He sent Jesus into the world, He can do the same with us also. And they will know and believe that God sent Jesus into the world. How? They will know by how you love one another. Isn't that what Jesus said? See? By their fruits you will know them. It's another thing He said. See, the purpose of the church corporately and each of us individually is just that. As we are living members of His body, make up the church, it's a living organism, not an organization, not an institution. It's made up of a group of people redeemed by the blood of Jesus, empowered by His Spirit, who are being transformed into His image by His workmanship. We are vessels of mercy prepared beforehand for glory. That's who we are. That's the church. This is the church that fulfills the great commandment of loving God with all the heart, mind, soul, strength, and manifest that love out through the many horizontal relationships it enjoys with friends and foes. By friends, I mean fellow believers. And the commandment is that we love each other as Christ loved and loves us. See, if we say we know Him, the evidence is that we walk as He walked, laying down our lives one for another, being there one for another, preferring one another in love. That's what it means to be a Christian. See, this is to be the atmosphere of the church. It's what displays the proper testimony of our Lord to the world. By foes, I mean those who are opposed to the message of the salvation of God that is by grace alone, through faith alone, to the glory of God alone. See, and they don't like the message because they don't want to be accountable to a holy God who requires His children to live that same kind of holy life. Not to earn their righteousness or their salvation, but one that displays to the world life as it is meant to be. See, that's what it means to be salt and light in a dark, decaying world. To have the rich sap of the vine of Christ flowing through the branches of His body. You see, the church, Jesus leaves us physically, but He doesn't leave us spiritually. He nourishes us, empowers us to live the same kind of life He lived on this earth. In the midst, we are here in hostile territory. Satan is a squatter on God's property. And so the church is to be coming against the gates of hell. We don't just hold the fort and try to keep him out. Believe me, he's already infiltrated us. But we are to live that life that is pure, holy, and displays to the world the life of Christ, that we are His children, truly. And we lay down our lives for other people. We love our enemies. That's what Jesus did. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get good. He didn't even wait for us to cry out. He just came and He did what needed to be done. And so the church should be replete with men and women of integrity and good character, Christ-like qualities, so that the world takes note and says, they have been with Jesus. And not only that, but Christ lives in them because they walked just like He walked. Okay, now you can take this message and do with it like we do with a water message and say, all right, I got it. I need to love more. I need to be forgiving. I need to have mercy. I need to read my Bible and do what it says. See, I need to tell my neighbor about Jesus, and on and on and on. That's a wrong application. See, those things are correct and they're proper and they should happen and become more natural, but only as they grow out of our unique relationship of abiding in Christ. See, we'll find out very quickly what our source of life is when we begin to walk with the Lord. See, our natural strength becomes depleted very quickly in trying to live out the Lord's commandments. And we will do one of two things: become bitter and dry and perhaps leave the church, or stay and taint by our foul odor that which should be aromatic. Or, see, we'll go to the one who promises rivers of living water and say, Lord, I'm thirsty, I need, and find that it is only His life-sustaining flow which can enable us to be a true ambassador for Christ. See, remember, God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And He has committed to us, the church, this word of reconciliation. So how are we to do that? By not charging those who sin against us with a crime. See, it's by forgiving as we have been forgiving and doing it over and over and over. See, that's supernatural life. And it's the character of the true church. When Peter said to the Lord, he said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? And Peter said, should I forgive him seven times? And the Lord said, well, that's pretty good, Peter, but this is where I live, and this is what is expected of you. Not seven, but 70 times seven, which is what? Unlimited. And that's just today. See, that's today, 70 times seven. And then tomorrow, my mercies are new every day. And so, Peter, your mercies must be new every day. See, that's supernatural life. That does not come from a taking the brace and trying to stretch it out there. That takes God. That takes the power of God stretching you out, that you might get into the straight gate and the narrow way that leads unto life. See, the broad way might be the easy way, but it narrows us down. Like I said, the natural, the flesh, never satisfied. And the flesh can't, it only gives a little bit. See, it'll give some. It'll give until it starts to hurt. And we won't forgive when our brother sins against us 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. We'll just give up. We'll shut that guy off. And it narrows us down. But see, when we learn to live with where the Lord lives and let Him feed us and feed upon His life, He takes us through the straight gate, the narrow way that leads unto life. That's a broad path. That's a place of really living. Well, that's freedom. That's freedom. And that's what the Lord wants to bring us into. That's the church that the Lord bought and paid for. That's the life that He has given to the church. That's the foundation. Christ Jesus, the chief cornerstone. It's His life in me, in you, flowing out. And this is the church that's going to finish the Great Commission of taking the gospel into the entire world. Because the members carry the message in earthen vessels of honor, sanctified and useful for the Master. See, He can use them wherever they're planted because they are more selfless than self-serving. And as they continue to grow in the Lord, mature, they become less, He becomes more. There's a greater awareness of the Lord in their daily life and a deeper understanding of His ways and workings. But it is always by faith, one step at a time. Do you see the Lord in your life? Huh? Do you see Him? Do you see Him in not just His provision, but when He shows up, when He brings somebody into your life? I mean, we should live in wonder and amazement and awe of God. We should. I mean, He's unbelievable how He works. He's amazing. And when we don't live there. See, when we don't rest in Him, when we don't live our life in Him, the Christian life is out here. We just think it's what we do, and you know, that's not life. That's not life. Like I walked past somebody that yesterday, and I said, "How you doing?" And you know, he comes here, and he said, "I'm here." I'm like, "You should be living. You're not just here. You're life. You're full of life. You got to, you know, express that life." But we can't work it up. It has to come. It flows out from us. And so, just live it. So that's the church. This is the church. It's a church walking in the obedience of faith that continues in prayer, trusting in the Lord's timing, and is satisfied and faithful with His provision. Prayer is our lifeline. And we must learn for ourselves what it means to pray without ceasing. It's like breathing. See, we inhale grace and goodness from the Lord. And we exhale our petitions and our thanks to the Lord. He's the first place we turn in our need. And because we delight in the Lord, our desire in prayer is for that which glorifies Him. And because we know He hears us, we know that we have what we ask for. That's prayer. It is of these branches that God chooses and equips those who go to the hard places in the world to share the gospel, because they love not their life unto death, and they are willing to go forth because they see the fields as the Lord does, white for harvest. Jesus saw harvest everywhere. He saw harvest on the other side of the globe like we see harvest. He saw harvest on the other side of the street. He saw harvest next to Him in the crowds. He said, "Lift up your eyes and behold the fields, they are white for harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He might send workers into the field." It's how we are to view the world. We are not all missionaries, but we are all evangelists. We are all placed in an area. We are to be in that area, salt and light. I don't care if it's in your home, where you work, you know, at Freedman's when you're checking out, God may give you an opportunity. Who knows? Like I said, We need to look for the Lord and be faithful when He opens up a door. Pray for that. Pray for opportunities. So when we're abiding in the Lord and He in us, we see life and eternity from His perspective. Because the kingdom of God is within us. That's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. And that should continue to grow and develop until it becomes the dominating factor in the life of the individual and the church. So that in Revelation, the Apostle John writes, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, come." They say the same thing. Why? Because they have the same desires. They have the same longings. The Bride is you. It is me. It is the church, the Bride of Christ. The Spirit of God says, come. The Bride says, come. Why? Because the Spirit indwells the church, indwells the believer. And He says this, "And let him who hears say, come." That's you and me. Do you hear the call? See, there should be a call coming out of our lives that says, come to Jesus. Come to the fountain of living waters and drink freely. The Apostle Paul says, "I press towards the mark for the call." Right? For the call of Christ Jesus, right? The call of God in Christ Jesus. I press. There's a call coming out from Christ, and I want to answer the call. That is where we are to be headed. And so what have I said today? Christ is the vine. We, the church, are the branches. Our purpose is to bear fruit. His purpose is to provide all that is necessary for production. We are nourished and kept in the vine by faithful obedience to the living Word. The Word restricts, and the Word keeps us in the way so that we feed upon spiritually nourishing food, being enabled by the grace of God to meet every challenge. And as we do, God is glorified, and we are seen as true disciples because we bear to some degree and in an ever increasing way the character of our Lord and Master Jesus. So that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, is your life hid with God in Christ Jesus? See, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with Him in glory. That's final redemption. That's when He comes again. He comes in glory, and His children are seen in glory. We shall see Him as He is. See? That's the true church that abides in Christ, purified through the fiery trials of life. Not the church with a religious veneer that is consumed by the fire of judgment. Abiding in the vine is by faithful, continual perseverance and endurance. Let me pray. Our Father, we do praise Your holy name. And Lord, we thank You for the call of God in Christ Jesus. And Lord, our desire is that we would all answer the call. Father, that You would so enable us, as You have provided everything needed, Lord, for good production, for sound discipleship and discipline in our lives. Father, that we would by faith, draw from the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, be nourished by His life, fed by Your Word, Father, enabled by Your grace, that out from us we might manifest that sweet aroma of Christ, and that the fruit of the Spirit would be displayed in every life here today. And so, Father, you know, I've done what I can, but it is only by Your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that You would come and You would so embed this Word in our hearts, and Father, that we would hide it there, keep it, protect it, that we would not sin against You, but let it have its fruition in our life to Your glory and Your praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.